Surprisingly little of the universe is visible to us when we incline our heads to the sky. Only about 6,000 stars are visible to the naked eye from Earth, and only about 2,000 can be seen from any one spot. With binoculars, the number of stars you can see from a single location rises to about 50,000. And with a small 2-inch telescope, it leaps to 300,000. With a 16-inch telescope, such as Evans uses, you begin to count not in stars, but in galaxies. From his deck, Evans supposes he can see between 50,000 and 100,000 galaxies, each containing tens of billions of stars. These are, of course, respectable numbers, but even with so much to take in, supernovae are extremely rare. A star can burn for billions of years, but it dies just once, and quickly. And only a few dying stars explode. Most expire quietly, like a campfire at dawn. In a typical galaxy, consisting of 100 billion stars, a supernova will occur on average once every 200 or 300 years. Finding a supernova, therefore, was a little bit like standing on the observation platform of the Empire State Building with a telescope and searching windows around Manhattan in the hope of finding, let us say, someone lighting a 21st birthday cake. So when a hopeful and soft-spoken minister got in touch to ask if they had any usable field charts for hunting supernovae, the astronomical community thought he was out of his mind. At the time, Evans had a 10-inch telescope, a very respectable size for amateur stargazing, but hardly the sort of thing with which to do serious cosmology, and he was proposing to find one of the universe's rarer phenomena. In the whole of astronomical history before Evans started looking in 1980, fewer than 60 supernovae had been found. At the time I visited him, in August of 2001, he had just recorded his 34th visual discovery, a 35th followed 3 months later, and a 36th in early 2003. Evans, however, had certain advantages. Most observers, like most people generally, are in the northern hemisphere, so he had a lot of sky largely to himself, especially at first. He also had speed and his uncanny memory. Large telescopes are cumbersome things, and much of their operational time is consumed with being maneuvered into position. Evans could swing his little 16-inch telescope around like a tail gunner in a dogfight, spending no more than a couple of seconds on any particular point in the sky. In consequence, he could observe perhaps 400 galaxies in an evening, while a large professional telescope would be lucky to do 50 or 60. Looking for supernovae is mostly a matter of not finding them. From 1980 to 1996, he averaged 2 discoveries a year. Not a huge payoff for hundreds of nights of peering and peering. Once he found 3 in 15 days. But another time he went 3 years without finding any at all. "There is actually a certain value in not finding anything," he said. "It helps cosmologists to work out the rate at which galaxies are evolving. It's one of those rare areas where the absence of evidence is evidence." On a table beside the telescope were stacks of photos and papers relevant to his pursuits, and he showed me some of them now. If you have ever looked through popular astronomical publications, and at some time you must have, you will know that they are generally full of richly luminous color photos of distant nebulae and the like, fairy-lit clouds of celestial light of the most delicate and moving splendor. Evans's working images are nothing like that. They are just blurry, black-and-white photos with little points of haloed brightness. One, he showed me, depicted a swarm of stars with a trifling flare that I had to put close to my face to see. This, Evans told me, was a star in a constellation called Fornax from a galaxy known to astronomy as NGC 1365. NGC stands for New General Catalogue, where these things are recorded. Once it was a heavy book on someone's desk in Dublin. Today, needless to say, it's a database. For 60 million silent years, the light from the star's spectacular demise traveled unceasingly through space, until one night, in August of 2001, it arrived at Earth, in the form of a puff of radiance, the tiniest brightening in the night sky.